Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And it's divine providence that we are going to look at the fruit of the Spirit this morning. That's a great part of this. It's going to be a four-parter. We're on part three today. Fruits of the flesh and the Spirit. It is a blessing to me to see so many folks in this congregation demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, we can only demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, number one, if we're born again. And number two, we can only demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit if we're walking with the Lord, having surrendered hearts, that we're sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way it can happen. You know, if we're sold out to ourselves and the things that we like and the things that we want, the fruit of the Spirit is not happening. It is going to be the works of the flesh. And so there is a huge, huge difference between those who know the Lord, those who are walking with the Lord, and those that are not walking with the Lord, and then the unbeliever. So as we begin this morning, let us ask our great God to help us to consider these things this morning. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open the Word of God again this morning. It has been a blessed time of thanksgiving this morning. Just contemplating all that you have done. It is unbelievable what you have done. We cannot conceive of the goodness of the Lord. It is so vast, it is measureless, it is so awesome. And we thank you, we give you praise. Our words are not adequate to express thanksgiving this morning, but we thank you to the best of our ability. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now to bring the message that we get what God wants us to get. That we grow, that we are convicted, that we are made better and stronger. That some light bulbs go on this morning that have never gone on before, that we understand. We ask you to illuminate us through your word. Empower us to be effective and wonderful servants of Christ in these days. We need your help for all of that. We cannot do it without you. We can only do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we ask you for your help this morning, your direction. Bless as we go through this message today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, we're looking at the total section of verses 19 through 26. We'll read the whole text. And then we're just going to focus on two verses today. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we get to the good things this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. This morning we move into point number two, the fruit of the Spirit, here in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. We have just looked at a long list of horrible sins that are practiced habitually by those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is good to be done with that terrible list and to be able to move on to the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. A more pleasant list has been provided to us by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And right away, we see a real little, small, but potent word here as we begin this next section. Verse number 22 begins with that three-letter word, but. Just got done with all this horrible, horrible sin. And the fact that folks who are doing that habitually are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then we get this word, but. But. All right, something better is ahead here. That little word gives way to great truths. It gives way to great events. It gives way to turning points. You know, that little word, but, as we follow it in Scripture, gives way to new direction in the lives of people. That little word, but, gave a change in direction to the great King David, to King Uzziah, to the prodigal son, and many, many more. In our text today, the word, but, signals the wonderful change that takes place in the life of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we read the Apostle Paul said about all of these sins, but such were some of you. But that's gone. That is gone. You are a new creature in Christ. And we have the opportunity by being filled with the Spirit and being dependent upon the Holy Spirit to allow Him to produce this wonderful, wonderful fruit in our lives. In our text today, we see this little word, but big things, big wonderful things are going to be happening. You know, when these beautiful works are displayed in the lives of God's people, it makes a church almost like heaven on earth. And everybody knows it, and everybody is affected by it. Man, when this fruit is shown, it's infectious, it's joyous, it brings out the good in people. It's just wonderful to walk in the Spirit and to be able to produce, have that wonderful fruit produced by our great God, our great Father, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. In these two verses that we're looking at this morning, the spiritual man or woman is being revealed. We find out what a person is like when they truly walk with the Lord. The word here in our Bible, the word fruit, in the Greek it's karpos. It means that which is produced by the energy of a living organism. And that production is done by the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and our lives as we submit to His leading and guidance in our lives. What we have here is what is produced in the life of a believer by the Holy Spirit. Only God can produce this fruit in you as you yield yourself to Him. You see, you by yourself are not going to produce this fruit. We're talking about a supernatural fruit producing organism, our great God. He longs to produce these things in us. The Holy Spirit works in the heart of the surrendered Christian to produce the following godly traits. This list is the fruit that is produced by God in the Christian who is walking in the Spirit. You see, if you're here this morning and you're a carnal Christian, don't be looking for any kind of this fruit to be produced in your life. If you're not surrendered to the Lord, if you're not walking in His will, if you're not wanting Him to be working in your life, if you're not sold out to Him, these things don't happen. All right? This is a supernatural fruit production that happens in the life of a believer as he yields himself to the Lord. Again, as the Apostle Paul gives us this list, in this case the fruit of the Spirit, it is divided into categories. And we're actually not going to get through all of it this morning, but we are going to get through some of it. The first category the Apostle Paul talks about here is emotional fruit. Emotional fruit. And the first fruit that he talks about here is love. Love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, there are various Greek words that we translate into the word love. We're talking here this morning about agape love, or agape, whichever way you want to say it. It is not the Greek idea of philanthropia, which means giving a man his due. It is not Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's not talking about brotherly love. It is talking about agape love, the spontaneous love. It's not about rights. It's about the matchless love of God, which just flows from a believer because he's walking with the King. And God is able to produce wonderful love in the believer. Now, this word love, this first fruit that we're looking at here, this one word encompasses the rest of the list. Love had to come first. It couldn't come last. The word love had to come first because it takes in all the rest of them. Love is the sum and substance of the Christian life. It needs to be. It all begins with the love of God, which He shines into our hearts. That's where it comes from. We don't work that up ourselves. He produces it in us. He gives it. Love is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You can stop right there and talk about that for a while. But it goes on. That He gave. What did He give? His only begotten Son. That whosoever in this whole world believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, whenever I think of the love of God, I think about the cross of Calvary and the events leading up to the cross, crucifixion itself. I think I spend some time in meditation on this every week. You know, and I just have to sit there and shake my head at the amazing love of God that He would send Jesus down here to die and to go through all He went through before the cross for us. I have a hard time being able to start with the Lord and being beaten and abused. I have a hard time being able to even think through everything that happened all the way to the cross, because it's just hard to get through it all because you just stop. It's hard to believe how much love He had to go through that for you and for me. I hope you treasure that. I hope you thank God for that all the time. That He was willing to go through all of that horrible torture that He went through for you and for me. You know, I don't know how well I would have done with that. You know, when I get a little bit sick, I need an appointment to see the doctor. You know, the Lord Jesus knew what was coming, and he went through with it. Never backed away. Amazing, the amazing love of God. A love that is inconceivable to man. We just cannot conceive of it. We sing wonderful hymns about God's love, written by people who you know when you sing those hymns. They truly loved the Lord with all of their heart and their soul and their mind. The Bible tells us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we ought to sit and think about sometimes how self-centered we are. We're more than we think. If you sit and think about it, have you ever tried to be God? Have you ever tried to sit and think about, you know what? I'm gonna go through Joe's life today and think about all that Joe's gonna do, and I'm gonna do Linda, and then Zach, and then forget it. If you're going down the road trying to do that, you're gonna end up in a tree or a front end of another truck or whatever. You know, God is so awesome, and He is so full of love for you and for me. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Here's an assignment for this week of Thanksgiving. You sit and contemplate how you can love that person that you have a hard time working that word up for. You know? Love everyone. Love the unlovely. You know, it is love that takes men and women to the mission field. You know, that's a special kind of love. Especially for Americans who have so much and have been so blessed. Love takes men and women to the mission field, and love takes men and women to all kinds of Christian service. It is love that takes you there. You know, as believers, we ought to be love in action, witnessing, sharing, bonding, living, showing, revealing, expressing, reflecting the love of Christ. Love. This is walking in the Spirit. You know, every one of us here this morning, we need to beg in prayer. We need to beg the Holy Spirit to work the fruit in our life and produce it in our life. And we also need to beg the Holy Spirit to convict us immediately whenever our hearts start to wander away from the love of Christ. And you know what? If you'll do that, it'll work. If you ask the Holy Spirit to remind you about something, if you ask Him to convict you about, He will do that. He will do it. He will bring to your remembrance when you start going off course. You ask Him to do that, and He will do it. When your heart starts to wander away from love to the works of the flesh, You just ask the Holy Spirit to get you back on track. You know, because our wicked flesh is always trying to get its job back that it lost when you became a born-again Christian. Our flesh is always vying to get back in control. And so we must work hard with the power of God in our life making it right, making things happen to His glory. The atmosphere that you present to people, what kind of an atmosphere is that? Is the atmosphere in your presence one of love? Do people recognize that? What's the atmosphere that you create? If we hand out a sheet of paper, you know, we all judge each other. What's the atmosphere that we would see? What do we want people to see? It causes us to get out of ourselves and to get in line with the Lord. The love of God. Love. This first, this wonderful list of the fruit of the Spirit. Number two is joy. Joy. We're not talking here about happiness. All right? Scratch that word off. Happiness. No. Joy is not happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening. And what's happening better be happy, happy, happy. Or it's not happiness. Right? Joy comes from God. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Joy is the rainbow in the storm. Now, this past week, I was driving through the countryside. I was heading west, and this long blotch in the sky caught my attention. I looked up there, and what I saw was a vertical rainbow. It's like, how did that get there? And I kept driving, and I kept looking, and it didn't go away for 10 minutes. I mean, it was like this great big long oval rainbow right there in the sky. The sun was off to the left and this rainbow was off to the right. It was glorious. Never saw anything like that before in my life. Joy is the rainbow in the storm. Joy is heaven pumped into the believer by the Holy Spirit of God. It's being steadily, wonderfully at peace in the storm, no matter what that storm is. Joy is heaven's light in a jail cell. Paul and Silas are case proof number one. Now you put yourself in their shoes. You just got done preaching out on the corner here and they didn't like that. So they gave you a whooping. And your back is like full of lacerations and it's bleeding. And now you're sitting down on the ground and your feet in stocks and you're in chains and you're bleeding all over the place and you're hurting. And are you going to have joy? What did they do? They sang and praised the Lord. Wow. That's what joy is. And what happened after that? A new church started. You got the jailer saved, you got his wife saved, and his kids saved, and his servants saved, and everybody else in the household saved. Next thing you know, people all over town are getting saved, and there's the Philippian church. It all started with a whooping and joy. Wow. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Number three is peace. Peace. Peace is the calmness of Christ in your heart. Peace is the calmness of Christ in your heart. I have to admit, I didn't have peace all through this week. I'm up here at the parsonage and I'm replacing the bathroom and things weren't always going right. And this pipe wasn't fitting right This was leaking, and this didn't fit. sometimes the peace just wasn't there. I did not have calm in the midst of the storm all the time. And I had this personal deadline sort of got reached, but not all the way. You know, Jesus was never in a hurry. Jesus was never disturbed. He was never on pins and needles. But we are. He had peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you," He said. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14:27. The peace that is fruit is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:7. The peace of God comes as we're in the waiting room at the hospital and we don't know if our relative's going to make it. Peace is sitting there in total reliance and trust in God. Peace in the heart. There are no pins and needles. We're not worrying about this because, oh, I just remembered, God is in total control of this, and I'm not. And may His will be done. And it will be. You know, Jesus knew how to sleep in a boat that was going up and down, and it was booming out there on the lake. And He was fast asleep. How about you? Would you be asleep? Is that boat going up and down, flopping on the water? Water's coming over the side. Was Jesus ever worried? Was Jesus ever flying off the handle? I don't think so. Are you a nail biter? Literally or figuratively? The hymn writer penned these words, "The blood of Jesus whispers peace within." The next three fruits are evidence fruits. The next three are evidence fruit. They are visible proof of the surrendered believer. The believer who's walking in the Spirit. The Christian who's sold out to the Lord. I keep emphasizing that because you got to understand that if you're not surrendered to God, this fruit doesn't get produced. Okay? You cannot get fruit when there's a wall of partition built between you and God. Number four, long suffering. The word literally means long tempered. Uh-oh. Long suffering. It is the total opposite of the blow-up guy. You know that guy at work? One little thing happens and boom! You're going to get it. Somebody's going to get it. A long-tempered person is the opposite. He has tolerance. He has patience. He has self-restraint. The long-sufferer does not retaliate, does not rush to vengeance. Listen to this one. He bears hurt silently. Nobody knows about it. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. It is the opposite of anger. You know, God puts up with a lot from all of us. Does He not? Mercy is a good word here. According to His mercy, He saved us. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God held back the flood for 120 years. After 120 years of preaching, there was not one convert, and finally, after that long suffering period, God finally said, "Let the rain begin." And it did. Now, Jesus suffered long with his disciples for three years. Suffered long with them and with lots and lots of other people, and the Lord Jesus suffers long with us today. Long-tempered. Number five is gentleness. Gentleness. Kindness or goodness of heart. Goodness in action. The kindest man who ever lived was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the kindest man who ever lived. Peter stated, after observing the Lord for 3 years, he said, "Christ went about doing good." That's about all they saw. And John writes, if everything that Jesus did that was good could be recorded, it would take the whole world full of books to write it all down. There's that much. You name the disease and Jesus healed it. He was kind to children and he was kind to the dying thief on the cross. For 900 years, the church has sung, "Jesus, the very thought of Thee." Written by a man who walked with the Lord. No doubt about it. Number six, and finally this morning, goodness. The word goodness is in the same family of words as gentleness, except goodness is made of sterner stuff. Okay? Goodness is made of sterner stuff. Doing what is good sometimes calls for taking a stand. Jesus did that. I'll give you two examples. The day that Jesus arrived at the temple with whip in hand. All right? And when Jesus stood up and he pointed his finger and he denounced the scribes and the Pharisees, "Woe unto you!" The goodness of Jesus. You see, Jesus did the right thing all the time. Goodness is doing the right thing. Goodness is not backing off. That's not good. Letting sin go is not goodness, that's bad. And so the Lord Jesus demonstrated the gentle element to the simple people, and he demonstrated the sterner element to those who should have known better. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders. To be kind and good is the ideal fruit. To be kind and good. Another example. Parents have got to sometimes give their children a loving no. No, you can't go there. No, you can't have that. No, you can't do this. And that parent has to back it up with discipline when needed. That's goodness. Okay? Parents who lack goodness will end up with rotten fruit. Goodness is a spiritual fruit to be developed. Many of us here this morning, if we could, we would go back and we would relive certain things in our life. And we would do goodness. We would take the stand that we should have taken, because now we see the fact that we did not take the goodness stand and the whole thing fell apart because we were trying to be nice. We were trying to go easy instead of good, being good and doing the right thing. I know I would go back and change a lot of things. We would have confronted sin. We would have done the right thing, and we would not have been silent about it. We would have spoken up for what's right. It is a supernatural goodness which must be developed as we ask the Holy Spirit to grow this fruit in our lives. And when I think about all of these things that we're going through right here, number six, here's one to be mastered. I don't know about you, but I know I need help on this one. I tend to back off. I tend to not want to confront this like I should. I better turn over a new standard on that. You know? Because if I don't, then I'm not doing what Jesus did. And goodness is not there. I think we all want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so as we look at this list, we have to identify the fruit that is there now and the fruit that needs to be developed. It has not come into that big, golden, delicious apple yet. It's this little baby thing. You know? And we want it to grow to maturity that we might become like Christ. Now, Jesus did these things, and so can we as we walk in the Spirit and depend on Him to make it happen in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your holy word. And we've barely looked at two verses this morning. Oh, there's so much there. Thank You, Father, that this fruit can be developed in our lives. Father, help us as Your children here this morning to long for it to be developed, to grow. For us to be all that we should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that You want it to happen in our lives, and You're looking for it to happen, and You want us to come to You and ask for it to happen and to be right with You so that it can happen. Father, we pray that You'd help us as a church of people here today. May we stick out like a sore thumb in this community and in this world, because we are full of the fruit of the Spirit of God. And we need Your help and Your direction and Your wisdom and everything that You'll do for us to make it happen. So, Father, we love You. We give You thanksgiving today. Lord, may the fruit of the Spirit thrive and grow in all of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.